And then, like, they get custom boxes at the craft fair. So that's a thought.
Yeah. Are there a lot of those around you?
There's usually quite a bit. I mean, a lot of them happen at churches, and, you know, I didn't burst into flames the last time I was in a church, so.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. It's a lovely day here in sunny Florida. Neighbor kids are screaming in the pool. Oh, and there's a new car in the neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
It's a Herbie the Love Bug.
Like a done-up Herbie the Love Bug?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
And have you, is this like a neighbor, or is this like down the street, or like?
He's on the corner, like four doors down.
Weird.
I just saw it today for the first time.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many people live in that house because there are like cars parked in the backyard and on the front lawn and everything. But the guy who I was driving it paints murals for like game rooms and stuff.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of those, you know, McMansion-type B&Bs around here.
Right, okay.
So I would guess it's his.
Wow.
Yeah. Nostalgia.
What movie car would you own if money was no object?
The 1966 Batmobile.
Okay.
Yep.
I would probably, it would either be the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like Back to the Future 2, not part 1. I'd want the Mr. Fusion on the back. Or like the A-Team van.
Oh, okay.
I think it'd be fun to roll up somewhere with like three other guys. Just out of context, just dressed as the A-Team.
Right.
You know, just going into Publix to get subs or something. Don't draw attention to it. Don't do anything. You just show up and everybody stares at you. You get back in the van, you drive away. I think that'd be fun.
That would be funny.
I guess you could do the same thing with the DeLorean. You could get somebody dressed as Marty and somebody dressed as Doc. Just carry on a conversation about time travel or something and just not make any, you know, like everything is fine. Just every once in a while you loudly go, "I don't remember that."
Well, there are a lot of DeLoreans near me.
There are. Well, isn't the manufacturing plant for the DeLoreans in Orlando? Or like where you can get all the spare parts?
Oh, is it? Is that what it is?
I think so. I think that's based in Orlando. You know, now that the classic DMC Florida, DeLorean Motor Company.
Interesting.
Is Satellite Boulevard in Orlando, if you know where that is.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
All right. We'll have to do a field trip.
All right. And it's like, if you look at it on like Google Maps, it's literally just like a warehouse building, but like there are DeLoreans lined up outside of it. That's funny. So what's new? What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Not too much. I started watching some new stuff this week.
Okay, what'd you watch?
I made it all the way through Fallout.
Okay.
Wow.
And is that a good wow or a bad wow?
Yeah, for being a video game series, it's really well done.
It is. And you don't have to be a fan of the video game to understand what's going on.
No. No, I know nothing about the video game.
Nope. And it feels like one of the things that I heard recently is like it feels like a complete universe. It feels like there are things going on outside of it that not affecting the show, but you know that they're happening.
Right.
And that, like, it's not just this is the first time we're doing this. It's this shit. It's been going on for hundreds of years. And the world feels complete as opposed to like just making it up as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed that.
I mean, there's some scary ideas in there.
Yeah.
It was a little Mad Max, a little Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Little Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Skull with the little kid surviving the A-bomb in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I did kind of think of that.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see where the second season goes.
Yeah. Not having done any of the video games, like, I'm assuming that Vault 33 is its own kind of story. You know, as opposed to like the other things like in the video games, because I think one is like Vault 76 or something, and I think one is like Vault 111. But being that they're able to write a story that takes place in that universe and connect everything, I'm assuming that when they wrote the first season that they had an idea where it was going to go with Lucy's father disappearing to, I guess, Seattle. I guess that's where he winds
right
up at the end.
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird that, like, you think that this spans, like, an entire vast section of the country, but it's, like, L.A. And, like, they're walking for what seems like forever, and they go from, like, downtown L.A. to, like, the observatory.
Right.
Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is not that far away.
Well, L.A. traffic can feel like it.
But not when everybody's dead.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, they did a really good job with, like, the space and, like, how the vault system worked and the hierarchy of that. And it was just very cool the way that it all, like, mm-hmm. shook out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the twists were really well handled.
Yeah, and like, I guess we'll spoil some of it here, and if you want to go see it.
It's been out for over a week.
Yeah, but like, so the Walter Goggins character is not just the ghoul, but he's also the vault boy.
Yes.
You know, he's the character that everybody sees. And they explain that right up front. Like, that's one of the first things when you meet him at the kids' party. They want him to do the thumbs up, and he's like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. And it never, like, really clicked to me what that meant until they show him in the vault outfit taking the pictures. And I was like, oh, okay, I get that now.
Right.
So it was very cool. And Walter Goggins is a great actor. And, like,
yeah,
being able to play the ghoul the way that he did with the makeup on and stuff, just he's phenomenal.
Right.
He needs to be in bigger things. He needs to be in, like, motion pictures and not just, like, TV shows.
Yeah.
And the Ant-Man movies don't really count. What else did you watch?
There's a new one on Netflix called Dead Boy Detectives.
Okay.
It's part of the Sandman, Neil Gaiman universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were briefly seen in Good Omens.
Okay.
I think. But they're two teenage boys who died young, and they've avoided going to the afterlife because they still have unfinished business, and they end up taking on cases for other ghosts. So it's kind of a freak of the week kind of setup, but there's recurring characters. Greg Berlanti's involved.
Did they?
Which kind of surprised me.
Didn't they do something like that for an episode of Doom Patrol? Didn't they go to like two kids that were dead?
I don't remember.
Okay. I could have sworn that was a Doom Patrol plot too. But maybe not. I mean, we consume so much content now that it all runs together.
Well, if you type Doom Patrol Dead Detectives, first thing that comes up is Dead Boy Detectives connected to Doom Patrol? Oh, they did first show up in Doom Patrol.
Oh, okay. Good. So the dimension's not
supposed
sitting
to be
in
Doom
yet.
Doom Patrol spinoff. Yeah, right.
So it was Doom Patrol spinoff that wound up at Netflix?
Yeah.
Huh.
But they are Neil Gaiman characters.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. It feels a little bit like Supernatural, and maybe that's because one of the characters. Do you ever watch Supernatural?
I never watched the whole series. I saw an episode here and there.
Oh. The actress who played the mother of Crowley.
Yeah.
The Scottish actress named Ruth Connell. She's in this. Yeah, there's 8 episodes, and I think I'm 5 in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I really like it. Yeah. They meet a medium who can see them, and she kind of helps them with their cases. But yeah, I think you might like it.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to go back and find that episode of Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I want to say it was when they lost their vitality.
Oh.
I think.
Okay, yeah.
And like some of them were like lost in hell or something. I don't know, Doom Patrol like spans so many things.
That's for sure.
So speaking of Netflix, I finally finished Three Body Problem.
Oh yeah? What did you think?
I thought some of it was very cool, but I think it ended really flatly.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved the boat thing when they take out the boat.
Huh?
That was some of the most original visual effects I think I've seen in quite a long time. The slicing of the boat apart and the people on it, and like, so when it first started and there were kids on the deck, I was like, surely they're not going to kill all the kids.
Right.
And then they wipe out everybody on the boat and it's like, okay, they are going to wipe out all the kids. But the very first, because you don't really know what's going on. Like, they lift what looks like an invisible frame out of the water. And then this boat starts to go through it, and things start to get sliced apart. And there's the first dude that's like mopping the deck that gets sliced up. And it was like, holy shit, that was cool. And then I realized that, like, it's going to go through the rest of the boat. And everything, like the people turning in the hallways and then just getting sliced into, like, pieces. It was like, wow, okay. They are just going for it. And it looked very cool. But I know that, like, the book is gigantic, or the series of books is a lot, that, like, they couldn't fit it all into this first season or whatever. But it just felt, I don't know, it didn't feel like the stakes were that high.
Right.
Because the aliens are 400 years away, and, like, I don't know. It just felt like, do I care about a next season?
Yeah, it feels like if it does get a next season, it's going to take so long to get here that I'm going to lose interest.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to watch the first one and it took me a while to get through this. And, like,
right.
Like, it wasn't like there were 42-minute episodes. There were, like, 62-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'd be watching them and be like, I feel like this is going on forever. And I don't really feel like they're advancing the story.
Right.
Like, unless it comes up later on, like, the whole subplot of the dude dying of cancer, that they cut his head off and put him in the spaceship for the spaceship to, like, go off course. It was like, you wasted a lot of time on that. So unless that comes back as, like, Pavlov's severed head later on, like, I don't really, like, why did you waste your time on that?
Right.
I also think it was kind of weird that, like, like, the trailer made it look like there was a group that was killing scientists.
Right.
And while that was kind of part of it, by the end of the first season, like, that has nothing to do with what's going on anymore. And I was just like, okay. Sure. I don't know.
Have you heard the story about what happened to the director of that?
No.
Or was supposed to be the director of that?
No.
One of his colleagues was poisoning him and people in the office. And he was the head of the subsidiary that controlled the business related to the series. So he was, like, kind of part of the management of it.
Okay.
And this happened like around Christmas 2020 when he died, and just this month, the guy who was accused was finally sentenced.
Holy shit.
Yeah, apparently he was slowly poisoning him, and there were, like, three or four other people in the office who got sick, but they didn't die.
Did they say why he was poisoning them?
No, not really. I guess the guy whose name is Xu, X-U,
okay.
Was a former lawyer. He was brought in to work for the subsidiary on the rights ownership things. But he was demoted 3 years in the role, and then they slashed his pay due to poor performance.
Oh. So weird.
Yeah, very bizarre. Apparently the guy practiced poisoning cats and dogs.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah. The producer who died was worth about $940 million.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird stuff.
He didn't want the truth out there. The truth about the aliens. I guess.
What have you been watching?
So, well, before we get off that, so I guess like,
okay,
you poison them hoping that you don't get caught, and then re-promoted because the dude is dead. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it didn't seem like this guy was like second in command or anything.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just that unhappy, go work somewhere else. Weird. What else have I been watching? I watched I'm caught up on The Bad Batch.
Oh, good.
Have you seen
this
latest?
It felt like kind of a slow episode.
Well, they're setting it up for the finale, I guess.
Yeah.
I do like Tech. Is it Tech that doesn't have the hand?
Yes.
I liked him walking around, like he takes the hand off of the droid and he's like disguising himself because he can't just walk around without it. You know, but it's all set up. So
no,
like,
it's Echo.
It's Echo. Tech is the one that's died.
It's Echo. Yep.
But like, you know, they're setting it up so that they've captured the Imperial guy that was helping them so that they'll know who's there, and like setting up for this big showdown of whatever's going to happen in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised they didn't do the final two episodes all at once.
I was surprised at that too.
But, you know, one more week and then we'll see what else Star Wars has.
Right. I wanted to see like Omega like running around the inside the walls.
Well, they had her like it was almost like Die Hard. It was almost like she was
exactly
like, I really wanted her to be crawling through an air duct and like stop and be like come out to the coast, get together, have a few laughs. I also finished Dune 2. We had talked about last week that I had started Dune 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. I couldn't get into it. It took me forever to finish it. And I was just like, and it ends like the first one ends, where it's like, why are you stopping here?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, all right, fine. I guess they're going to make a part 3. And I guess maybe at some point I'll have to watch it. But I don't know. I'm definitely not going to be running out to the theater to see it.
No?
No.
No, I haven't watched it yet. Did anything stand out to you?
I mean, the visual effects are amazing, and like the I don't know, the plot just does not connect with me.
Okay.
I know there is a lot of talk online, because I wanted to see whether or not I was the only one that couldn't connect with this. And it's a very hit and miss movie for a lot of people.
Okay.
It's one of those you either love it or you hate it type things. But I guess there's a whole section of people that are talking about like the Fremen in this movie are portrayed very much as a religious group.
Right.
And there are direct connections to Islam. And
there,
a lot of people are saying that, like, because the Fremen are basically terrorists, that it's painting Islam in a bad light. Like, if you're going to take the parallels to heart. Like, if you go being like, oh, God, that's Islam. Oh, they're really betraying them as, like, the enemy. You know, then, you know, what are the... Because apparently a lot of what they did in this movie were not in the books for the Fremen.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if Denis Villeneuve has some hidden anti-Islamic side, or whether it was just a weird coincidence, but, you know, I don't know. Like, I didn't really see that when I was watching it until I had read about it, and then I was like, okay, I can kind of see that. So I don't know how apparent it would be to everybody else.
Right.
I also watched this week's Star Trek Discovery.
Okay, I haven't got that far yet.
Okay. It's an okay episode. You get some backstory on the two bad guys.
Yeah.
There was a shot in the season trailer that everybody was going apeshit over because they thought what they were seeing was like a huge spoiler, and it turns out that it's not really a big spoiler. And since you haven't seen it yet, I won't really tell you, but I just think it's funny that everybody gets up into an uproar about stuff, and at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think I have two to catch up. I finally saw three.
Okay.
So now I have the most recent two.
Okay. But that's all I really watched. I mean, I didn't watch too much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you watch anything else?
X-Men 97.
Okay.
It's still good.
You don't sound too sure.
Well, it's because I like it because it's stories I didn't know before.
Okay.
So it's all very different to me.
Okay.
You know, Xavier is dead and Magneto takes over the squad and a lot of stuff that I didn't know because I never you know watched the original cartoon. So
no, you weren't watching X-Men in the 90s?
No. Nope. I mean, there were like X-Men in there that I hadn't really heard of before, like Morph.
Oh.
Not to be confused with Worf.
Morph does have honor.
Yes.
Where Worf has no honor.
Yeah, it's just very, very different X-Men than I was used to from the movies.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're going by the movies, I mean, the X-Men are not very well represented in any of the movies.
No. Well, not at all. I mean, even though they had, what, 6 movies total?
Yeah, something like that. There were 3 originals,
yeah.
New Class, Days of Futures Past. There was like 7, I think. 7 or 8.
Hmm.
The problem with the X-Men movies was it never felt like it was a single universe. It always felt like every single movie was like its own universe.
Right.
And that always got to me. It's because like these characters don't meet in the actual movies, like the original 3, until like way later. But like in X-Men First Class, hey, they've already met these people. It's like, wait, what?
Right. Yeah.
So that should always confuse me, but, you know. What are you going to do?
Are you going to run out and see the new William Shatner documentary?
No, I didn't know there was a new documentary. Is this about when he goes into space?
It's called You Can Call Me Bill.
Oh. All right.
I guess it was in theaters, and now it's on video on demand.
Okay.
And he kind of talks about, you know, his career, and then he gets into some of the he seems to be very contemplative in this, from what I've heard.
Okay.
So I don't know. Could be very interesting that he's not, you know, the Shatner we've seen before.
Well, I mean, homeboy's in his 90s. I'm sure that he's looking
93.
Back. I'm sure he's looking back at, like, you know, he's got less friends. Like, all the people that he knew are, like, essentially gone.
Right.
And, like, you know, he said that, it, like, when he went on the space flight, that, like, that changed him as a person. I mean, that seems to be, like, what a lot of people say. Like, once you've seen the Earth from that vantage point, like, you don't come back the same.
Hmm.
I mean, and he knows he's on, like, he's on borrowed time. I mean, how 93 is, you know, he's not looking at another 20 years.
Right.
You know, everybody should be so lucky to live to 93. I think him and Patrick Stewart need to do a buddy comedy about aging actors in a retirement home.
That'd be hilarious. You should pitch that to him. Come up with a treatment. I mean, sure he'll do it.
We could do all the Star Trek captains. We could do, you know, George Takei.
Oh, yeah.
We could get Avery Brooks. You know, the place is run by, what's his name from Quantum Leap?
Oh, Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula, because he was in Enterprise. You know, it could just be all the, Kate Mulgrew could be like the lone female. It'd be fun. Turns out that like, Star Trek is just all in their heads, and like how they pass the time is telling Star Trek stories.
Right.
Although they kind of did that on Deep Space Nine, so I don't know if that would work. They just didn't do it with everybody. They just did it with Sisko.
Did you ever hear about this project he was working on called Storyfile?
No.
He spent 5 days in front of a camera just answering all these different questions that were scripted for him.
Okay.
And they created an AI Shatner that you can have a conversation with.
Okay. Is that like available? Can we like talk to William Shatner?
Yes, you can. Oh, he's laughing at us.
Oh.
He's waiting for a question. Do you have a question for Bill?
What's up with the hairpiece?
Mr. Shatner, what's up with the hairpiece? Yeah, he doesn't like that question. Mr. Shatner, what's up with the hairpiece? Did you hear his response?
No, I didn't.
He says, well, that stumps me. I'm stumped.
Okay, where's the AI Shatner?
It's called storyfile.com. And he's right on the title page.
Oh.
Then you click on
I don't have
the
a microphone.
Bottom of the screen where it's...
Yeah, I see. I don't have an actual microphone like hooked up to the computer.
Oh, well.
Although, can I type a question? Yep. I can. Oh, my God.
Bill, can I type a question?
He's staring into my soul. What is the meaning of life?
Oh, it does say you can type in. Is it this? Oh, yeah. If you click on the...
Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
Let's see.
You know, it's shocking to me, too, Kevin, that it's possible there's no meaning for life. And why should life be meaning? What's the meaning? What does that mean? God, you are worthwhile. But you got it. You are worthwhile, though you stole your Bernie thingy who stole $5 billion. You are, but your life is good. Come on. I saw a serial killer being ushered into his cage, and he's looking back at the camera and he's saying, I know I'm going to heaven because I just accepted Christ, and he's killed like 17 people. Horrible.
Okay. Wow. That was something else. Is there a God?
God? That's just weird. When I'm asked if I believe in God, I think that is a weird question. Because what does that mean? The whole sentence needs examination. Believe. What is belief? Is that faith? Is that trusting? We don't know what the word belief is. The other word we don't know is God. What is God? Who's? Everybody has a different concept of God. I was asked to do a Star Trek movie. And anything I wanted. So the one-line theme I thought would be interesting was Star Trek goes in search of God. So the studio, Paramount Studios, said, well, who's God? WHO apostrophe is, who's God? And I said, that's a good question. There is, because of the...
He's just kind of babbling.
He's
on.
Very chatty.
He is.
Yeah, he's religion. Very chatty.
God,
that's funny.
Has taken various forms, but when you look at it closely, God, the belief in God, is the same thing. Why there have been wars, hundreds of years at a time of war, and now people being killed over God, when it's all the same. If you wish to believe that a Middle Ages painting with the beard and the flowing robes and the hand is God, that's your prerogative. It actually was Da Vinci.
He's still going. What the hell?
Why is he dressed in long robes? Why isn't he in a bathrobe or in a swimsuit? Water is there. So what is God? If God is life force, that the universe is throbbing with life.
The universe is throbbing with life?
In my opinion, to think that we're the only ones in the universe is astounding. We're on this little planet, around a little sun, in a little galaxy, and all of those definitions have billions upon the multiple of the potential for life on another planet, exactly the same as this, is absolutely sure because of the mathematics involved. We can't be the only ones alive, which flies in the face of the Bible, which says we are made. So So what is God? If God is nature, if God is the spirit of life, if God is the evolution, the continuity of life from the Big Bang to the universe is exploding rather than coming back together. That's a big one. If all that is God, then of course you believe in God, because it's happening. But is it a guy pressing a button? I don't think so. So what does that mean? I guess the answer is, are you spiritual? And you have to be spiritual, because there are no answers anywhere else. There is the science, which is beautiful. The science is so mathematical. It's so, that web.
Oh my God.
Dear God.
Okay. It just ended. Wow.
Wow, Grandpa.
So,
you got a lot to say.
So he says that I have to be spiritual because there's no answers anywhere else except for in science. But science, I guess, is too complicated. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I hit like the one question that he had a lot to talk about.
Right.
Do you have a question for Mr. Shatner, John?
I don't.
Can I call you Bill?
Yes. You called?
Oh, that was nice and short.
Can you imagine what that 5-day shoot must have been like?
Lots of eye rollings behind the camera. lots of weird looks of like, what the fuck, being mouthed back and forth. Yeah, so there's 5 days of answers here.
Right.
Wow. I mean, and it's not a great key. I would have pulled a better key. But, you know, that's just me. We're going to need a loop of you just sitting there with your fingers folded, please.
Yes. I wonder if he fell asleep at any point.
Do you like Donald Trump?
My political opinion is that there's too much variance, too much of a difference between the very rich and the very poor. Yes, the very, you know, hard work is necessary for all of us, so if you give people something they didn't earn for a variety of circumstances, I think you've got to encourage them to earn it. You can't just give it. But people need help. I think that it's a democracy, and it is an experiment, and it is democratic, all those key words. You need to be on alert that devious forces won't overtake what is really a tender, growing child that is democracy. And you have to be very aware that it's very easily disturbed.
Okay.
Mm.
So no definitive answer, just watch out for dubious forces. Makes it sound like he's not a big fan of Donald Trump.
Well, we can only hope.
So can we say that we've now interviewed William Shatner?
I think we could.
Sweet.
Big milestone for us.
It is. We don't usually get people this big.
That's right.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a question that like would be so off the wall, would he actually have an answer for it? Go ahead.
If you could meet any person from history, living or dead, who would it be?
Could meet anyone from history. History. Living or dead, who would it be?
Wow. Who would I love to talk to? So many. So many things. There's so much I don't know, but don't understand. And I don't know why I've raised the rate of assimilating knowledge now, when I mean, well, how am I going to use it? What use of it is it? And then I realize it's possible that we're here on Earth as observers of that knowledge, to look upon the majesty of the universe and its extraordinary working, as little as we can see, to witness that. And maybe that's the purpose of life. I mean, it's kind of the useless purpose of life, because we live and we die within an instant. You go like, the universe goes like that, blinks, and we're gone. So of what use is it to the universe?
Okay, he didn't really answer the question.
The immediacy of my life, learned something really interesting about genetics, or, you know, landing on Mars, or something really fascinating about the knowledge of the universe, or spiritual knowledge. What use is it? But it doesn't seem to matter. I'm acquiring more and more. So who would I like to talk to? Einstein. I mean, name him. Einstein. Imagine the skies. I now know, I didn't know, that great scientists are really science fiction writers. I may have been the last one to interview Stephen Hawking. We went there to Cambridge. In fact, he asked me to dinner, and I went to dinner with a man who couldn't speak. There's a play called "The Man Who Stayed for Dinner." Stayed for dinner. Imagine having a play of the man who couldn't speak at dinner.
Homeboy's got Stephen Hawking jokes.
But the more I was able to connect with him, the more I realized that this brilliant mind had thought, you know, dark hole, black holes, and he's got a theory, and he buttresses it with what he finds in fact, but it turns out to be true. I mean, who thought of the Big Bang theory? I mean, it's been around since we've been looking at the stars. How come the last 100 years, they said, you know what, bang, and there was something exploded, you can hear the, what? Why didn't somebody else think of tectonic plates? Of course, that's why mountains get up there. What? It's so moving, acquiring that knowledge, getting that knowledge, and these people who conceive of the theory of, what about evolution? Wallace and company? Why didn't they think of evolution before? It's so incredibly simple. If this goes like this, this isn't going to work. It has to stay up and go like this. If it doesn't go like this, it ceases to. I mean, it's so simple, so beautiful in its simplicity. This law of nature is so beautiful in its simplicity, that to have these people at a dinner table to explain how they came about. What do you mean you were Einstein? He was in filing and so, and he's, I mean, where does that mind, wouldn't you love to talk to that mind?
Are we still going?
We mentioned before.
Holy shit.
I started Aristotle. He was the greatest mind of his time.
Hey, Mr. Shatner, you got to keep these shorter.
Didn't he?
Bill?
Alexander, Bill. The great, didn't want to stay in the Grecian time. The history is filled,
Bill,
with minds that you would love to, but not
Excuse me, Bill.
People who say, well, you know, you'll never understand.
Mr. Shatner.
I got into an argument with...
oh, my God. He's still going.
To teach a science out there are three names. With...
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse. I got into a fun argument. Like, he's teaching cosmology and Mars, and then there's a... And I'm saying to him, you don't know anything. How could you possibly think that your measurements are valid when there's all this stuff diffusing your knowledge? Even the color of what's burning, which is giving you clues, or the red shift. I mean, how can you possibly know anything when there's so everything is so changes every 50 years, things change. Oh, we didn't know that. Now we know that. And we had a fun time arguing about it. But it's true. How do we know anything?
I just want to know who you want to have dinner with.
So those minds who have pretensions to knowledge.
Actually, John wanted to know who you'd have dinner with.
Love to spend time.
Are you done? Oh, he's done.
Oh my God! Well, you know, at least they didn't just have him record sound bites.
Right. All right. One last question, and then we'll get off of this. Are you a fan of the Dance Monkey Dance podcast?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for it exactly, but I have something that relates to it.
Oh, good God! Oh, that was it. So, no, he's not. Wow, this is something else, man. They must have had a giant list of like what questions could anybody ask.
Do you think they just like went through old recordings from Comic Cons and stuff?
I don't know. I think there's probably a big like book of like, you know, a million and one questions to ask somebody. You know, do you believe in God? Who do you want to have dinner with? Blah blah blah, and they just went through them one by one. So I don't know.
Hours and hours of fun.
But thank you for coming on the show, Mr. Shatner. I mean, Bill. Oh, he just nodded at me.
He just nodded.
That's so weird.
He's ready for a nap. He's going to get his diaper changed.
Is he the only, like, person... Is he, like, the first one of these?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Let's see. There's a Black Voice Collection. William Shatner, Rose Schindler... Mother, grandmother, breast cancer survivor, and Holocaust survivor. There's a NASA astronaut. There's a 9/11 first responder. Gianni Russo, who is an Italian-American actor, singer, businessman, and polio survivor. Nancy Gibbs. Kevin Briggs, who's a California Highway Patrol officer. Tim Draper. Ricardo Negron, who's an American LGBTQ activist and Pulse nightclub massacre survivor. There's quite a bit of these.
And coming soon, Ed Asner.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. I wonder if all of them spent 5 days doing this, though, or if it was just Shatner who, you know, it's William Shatner, so we're going to do, you know, as much as we can.
Right. Well, it's very, it's an interesting thing.
It definitely. I mean,
you know, before long, we'll have conversations with Jesus and Moses and Genghis Khan.
Wow. It would be interesting to know the questions they asked him, though. Oh, what are the hints things say? Small talk, intro topic. Oh, okay. So this must be all the shit that they asked him. What's your name? Where were you born? What's your story? How old are you? Who are you? Do you feel old being so close to 100? do you believe life has a meaning? Where are you? Why are you so fascinated by the mysteries of the universe? Why do you think we need more? What do you think we need more of in the world? What can we do to get children more interested in learning about science? So these are all the prompts that they asked him, I guess. What motivates you? Then there's an entire... Come on, keep going. Where's the Star Trek one? There's childhood and youth, Star Trek, favorites. How can I be more like Captain Kirk? How do you feel portraying... How do you feel portraying the death of Captain Kirk? What was it like to work with Gene Roddenberry? Who are the biggest goofball from the original Star Trek cast? What was it like working with Nichelle Nichols? And then what's favorites? Favorite author, center smell, musical instrument, taste, travel destination, favorite type of motorcycle. Okay. So they must take variations off of this to, you know. What do you remember about Pearl Harbor? Well, now I've got to know.
I don't remember Pearl Harbor per se.
Oh, thanks.
But I certainly remember and have seen enough film on Pearl Harbor and understand what Roosevelt was doing and the possibilities of what transpired before Pearl Harbor, the cause of Pearl Harbor, subsequent to Pearl Harbor, the luck of...
Oh, you can cut them off. You can just click on them. Nice.
Oh, well, that's good to know now.
So if you want to talk to Bill Shatner, if you want to become Bill's best friend, you can go to storyfile.com. Tell him we sent you. What if you just say hi, Bill? What's he do? Does he say
hi?
All right. Wow, this has been something. Look at us hobnobbing with the stars.
Suit your technology. Something to keep you entertained when you're down in the vault after the Armageddon.
I mean, if it was seamless, if like you couldn't see the fades between like asking the question and the answers, mm-hmm. like it would be really creepy. Because he looks like he's just listening to me talking to you, and it's very unnerving. Bill, what was it like to sing for George Lucas, Steven Spielberg? No, it was George Lucas. He opened the AFI thing for George Lucas, where he sang My Way. Well, kind of spoke it. I mean, good on him at 93 for being able to sit there for 5 days.
Right.
And answer all these questions. Mr. Shatner, have you thought about what you'd like for the background? Well, I'd like kind of a kitchen with a pepper grinder behind me. Can we do that? Oh, sure, we can do that.
Do you think that's his house? Like they went to his house to film?
No, that's he's definitely on a green screen. He's I can see the mat lines around his shoulders and stuff. He's on a green screen for sure. That way that they don't have to fuck with the lighting, especially for 5 days. But I don't think that's his house. I think he's got a much nicer house.
Do you think he got paid for this?
I don't think he does anything without getting paid for it.
What's 5 days of William Shatner's time worth?
Probably not as much as it used to. But I'm sure it's probably close to whatever his convention fee is.
Yeah.
I would have to imagine. I mean, what would you pay William Shatner for 5 days to, like, have him talk about everything?
I don't think I would.
No?
No, I don't think I would. I don't know who I would want to capture with 5 days worth of questions for this product.
What about... I mean, I think if it was specific, like you can type in anything here and like you're probably going to get some kind of an answer. But like if it was specific to like what they're known for, I think a 5 day thing of like Steven Spielberg or, you know, if we're doing Alive or Dead, like Kubrick, I think Kubrick would be fascinating to listen to. You know, people like that, or like, I know he makes fun of Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I mean, Neil is a smart dude and could probably give some very eloquent answers to things if he had that kind of time. But I mean, I'm sure there'd be a market for like your favorite baseball player or like football player or like, you know, because it's basically like you're getting to sit one-on-one with these people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, what if they did this with George Lucas and they asked him every Star Wars question the fan has ever asked online?
Oh, that'd be more than 5 days.
Well, yeah, but like... like that would be fascinating to be like, hey, I've always wondered about like why the Wookiees have long hair or like why they don't wear pants or like, you know, any of the stuff that like gets thrown out there where he would just be like, oh, well, this is why I didn't want the Wookiees to wear pants. Very small genitalia, very small. You could hide it with the fur. I mean, even like Shatner said, like I think a 5 day thing with Einstein would be interesting. I said that and he just like nodded and smiled at me. This is unnerving. Bill, can you hear me right now? He just nodded yes. Now he's laughing. Oh, I gotta, okay, I'm gonna turn you off. Sorry, Bill. Conversational video AI. Well, I guess that's better than like an AI that just like they programmed with Shatner's voice and then like it goes out and reads a Wikipedia thing and just spits something else back at you. I mean, at least this is his opinion on things.
Right. As far as we know.
As far as we know. Who knows what they edited in and out? Bill, do you feel like all Canadians should become like actors in America? Are you close with Ryan Reynolds? Wow. This has been very cool. We don't normally get to interview famous people. Thanks for setting that up, John.
Hey, no problem. I had to pull a few strings, but, you know.
Do we owe somebody, like, wine now?
I'll never tell.
Oh, good times. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right. Well, we want to thank William Shatner for being here. And hopefully you learned something about his view on God and space and what it means to be 93. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Okie dokie.